So we'll start with Dvarim Shavmelcho Nefesh, and then when we will, if we have time, we'll go into Friday afternoon mode. Rab Biyan Ma'ata. Rab Biyan Ma'ata. Seems like it's a nace, right? The many in the hands of the few. The Beis Yosef's Kasha, what's the nace on the first night? The Inyan of the Haganas. And the reason why we're talking about this, one of the tzaddim which we had not to say chabur today was because, you know, we pretty much touched Siv Seichin. Well, we didn't read every single word and we didn't get through the rest of the Sefer, but the second half of the Sefer is really Kavanas, like we said before. And like we said, maybe next year, Mr. Shem, after we all go to the mikvah, we'll be able to discuss it. The Nes of Chanukah, the Nes of Chanukah, Lord Gunnus, Rabbi Amiatin. So, the Tzur of the Nes is Or. It's Or. It didn't have to be that way, because B'Pashtus, the Nes of the Machama, the Nitzachan of the Chashbonim against the Avonim, was the Siba of the Yontif, Lachara, not the finding of the Pach. And even if it has a lot to do with the finding of the Pach Shemen, it's not directly connected to the Nitzachan of the Machama. It didn't have to be that way. In fact, the Pima Gadam understands that the Teretz to the Kasha of the Beis Yosef, what's the miracle on the first night, that's the Tev of Shemen, is to light. He explains that you're right. It's not a Zecher to the Nes of the Shemen, because there's no Nes. It's a Zecher to the Nitzachan of the Machama. So we do recall it. But what's the connection between Orn and the Nitzachan against Yavan? So Chazal hit it on the head, of course, as always. As Chazal say, Divrei Torah, Aniyim b'makom echad, v'ashirim b'makom acher. The Divrei Torah, they are poor in one place, but they're rich in other places. And Chazal are telling us that in order to understand the codes and the secrets of Divrei Chazal, a person has to have somewhat of a breadth of knowledge to be able to make connections between Chazal here and Chazal there. And the Maharal explains why that is. Because when Bnei Yisrael went into Galus, we became scattered. And because Bnei Yisrael and Torah are one, going into Galus means that Bnei Yisrael are scattered and the Torah is also scattered. And that's why we don't find any halacha in Torah without a machlokis as well. Because it represents the division due to Galus. And the divide in Klai Yisrael is the divide in Torah also. And that's why Rabbi Akiva said, V'ahavta l'recha kamecha zeh klal gadol b'Torah. And as a Ksav Sefer and others learn, is that klal gadol b'Torah doesn't just mean it's a klal gadol in Torah, it means it's a klal gadol in Limud HaTorah. Why is V'ahavta l'recha kamecha essential to Limud HaTorah? Because Torah and Klai Yisrael are one. And if there's unity within Klai Yisrael, then there's unity in Torah. And if a person feels like he's one with the rest of Klai Yisrael, so to him, Torah becomes Echad. And he's able to understand Torah. So V'ahavta l'recha kamecha is not just a component in Bein Adam L'chaveiro, it's the key ingredient to Hatzlacha in Limud HaTorah. V'ahavta l'recha kamecha zeh klal gadol b'Torah, and who better to know that than Rabbi Akiva, who the Ari says he's the Av of all Torah Shebaal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was told he's going to bring down the Torah, he says, why are you giving it to me? Give it to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva eclipsed Moshe Rabbeinu in a certain way. There he explains, Moshe is the Av of Torah Shebachsav, and Rabbi Akiva is the Av of Torah Shebaal Peh. As the Gemara tells us, that all of the different channels of Torah Shebaal Peh, they all flow through Rabbi Akiva, his great Talmidim. And Rabbi Akiva, if you want to know the secret ingredient to his Hatzlacha, he tells us, if you want to know how I became the Av Torah Shebaal Peh, because I embodied V'ahavta l'recha kamecha. That was his mantra, that's what he lived by. And through that, he became the greatest Tana. Although he wasn't the first Tana, nor the last Tana, he was the greatest Tana. Where are we holding? How do we get here?
From Nitzachon, the lighting the candles. Why the answer is the Beis Yaakov's, the Beis Yosef's question.
Okay.
First night of the.
The Beit Torah and Yimalka Mecha, Shimalka Mecha. Right. Yeah. Right. Choshech zu Yavan. So Chazal tell us that Choshech represents Yavan. And that's the Pesach to understanding why the victory against Yavan, which represents Choshech, which is similar to Choshech, if that's the case, the victory has to be Or. That what took place in the battle of the Chashmonaim against Yavan was the relationship between Or and Choshech. Hence, in the aftermath of the victory, they chanced upon oil, which is an inyan of Or. Not just a regular Or. We know already what this Or is. Dor HaGanaz Vayimer Elokimi Hi Or Vayihi Or. And this goes hand in hand with the whole surah of the victory against the Chashmonaim, of the Chashmonaim against the Yavanim. Everything which took place in that Melchama, quote-unquote, and everything which Yavan represents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the nes of the Pach Shemen, was touching up everything. It was just like, it's a picture which speaks a thousand words. The finding of the Pach Shemen and the lighting of the Menorah was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of telling Bnei Yisrael, if you want to know what just took place, this is the Taich. This is the Torah Sheba'al Peh of what took place in the Torah Sheba'al Chzav of the nes of us versus the Yavan. So what's that? How does that connect to the Tzur of the Neis, which is the Tzmeim Biyad Tahirim, Mishayim Biyad Tzadikim, Rabim Biyad Ma'atim, Zeidim Biyad Oiske Tarasecha, Liman HaTaira? So it goes like this. There's two ways to make a Mechama. One is to fight it out, Mamish, and the other is not to engage in combat at all. To be victorious without having to wage war. We're only familiar with the first part, which is we have to wage war, make a milchama in order to win. Pick up the sword, pick up the weapons, go out to fight, it's going to be bloody, somebody's going to win. However, the way to win in a way where you don't have to make a milchama is through a dimyon of Or and Choshech. We know Or and Choshech are adversaries. Or and Choshech, they're opposites of each other. That in the same way, fire and water extinguish each other, Or and Choshech, they also. One will triumph over the other. There's a difference, though, between Mayim and Eish, and Or and Choshech. That is, that Mayim and Eish do battle with each other. It gets loud, gets intense. When the fire starts to get put out, it makes a sizzling noise, and then the mime starts to bubble, and you see the milchama, you see the fight. Or in Choshech, there's no blood, there's no harm, there's no hurt. It's just Or puts out the Choshech. It's smooth, it's calm, it's silky, it's great. These are the two layers of milchama. The fight that Bnei Yisrael had against the Yavanim, the fact that the Kodesh Baruch Hu Chazal Taishan Torah Shabbat Peh, that Choshech is Yavan, tells us that Bnei Yisrael is Or, and the battle between Klal Yisrael and the Yavanim was one of Or versus Choshech. How was it that the Rabbim fell into the hands of the Matim? Doesn't that seem to be a nes, defy Teva? The answer is no. Because the teva of Choshech is that it loses to Or. What if there's a lot of Choshech, and there's just a little bit of Or? What's going to happen? The Or will defeat the Choshech. It's not possible for the Choshech to defeat the Or. It's not even a Melchama. It's not a Melchama. It's automatic. It's the teva of Or to defeat Choshech. If you want to know why it is that the Yavanim were defeated by just a handful of Chashmonaim, because the Yavanim represented Choshech, and the Chashmonaim represented Or. And there wasn't a Melchama. And contrary to what we think, even if it's painted out to be, that they were big warriors, and they're chopping off heads, no, it wasn't like that at all. Not like that at all. These are the Kohanim, they didn't know anything about it. They didn't know anything about it. It's like Chazal said about David HaMelech, when he went out to war, he was machaven the side of the menorah, the Chidah says. His shield, some say that his shield had a Magen David on it, but others say no, it was called a Magen David, but it didn't have a Magen David on it, and it had the menorah on it. And it could be in the shape of the Magen David, but it had a menorah on it. And the Chidah says he was machaving the side of the menorah. V'ayivav naiflam lefanav. He went out to war and they just dropped dead in front of him. That's Or versus Chayshach. That's what David HaMelech says. Ani shalom v'chiyadaver heima lemelchama. I am a man of peace. When I speak, they go out to war against me. David doesn't say, I go out to war against them. He says, I'm shalom. I'm shalom. They're milchama, but I'm shalom. I mean, the Chayshach comes with a big rage, ready to fight against the Or. As soon as it comes in contact with the Or, it's smooth. No milchama. That's David HaMelech.
There's so much here that we can, I mean.
So yeah, this is Yesoid this Mamish. It's Dvarim Pshutim, but it's Dvarim Yesoidim on Ma'ed. Because it just has to, you just have to put the Sugi together. That's really what it is. It's the Or versus the Chayshach. That's why Ner Chanukah has two dimensions. There's the Maim and the Ish. And then there's the Or and the Chayshach. On the one hand, a candle also gives off an Ish. But that's not what we're in for. We want the Or versus the Chayshach, not the Ish versus the Maim. Where the mitzvah is about Ner Torah, Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. That's what this is about. Not about Ish HaTorah. It's not about Ish. And that's why you can't be Yotzi with an Ish. You can't have a bonfire. You can't have a torch. It needs to be a Ner. Because you're not allowed to have an Ish. Because this is not the victory of the Ish HaTorah. This is the victory of the Or HaTorah. Because when you take a look at Maisa Bereishis, before the Or was created, which is the very first creation which the Torah speaks about, there were only two, maybe three things which the Torah mentions which were not part of creation, seemingly. And that's what? V'choshech al p'nei tohaim, v'ruach elokim, v'achef al p'nei mayim. Mayim and choshech. What goes against mayim and choshech is Or and Ish. V'yir melekim yihi or. That Or was a revelation of Or and also Ish, which is why on the next day, which is Yom Sheni, Hashem created Shemayim, because Shemayim, Chazal says, Eish and Mayim. So this provided the substance, the Hainu Or and Eish, from which Shemayim would be created. But the Torah doesn't mention Eish, it only mentions the Or. Because the Eish was only a Taitza of the Or. And in fact, that Eish was only revealed through Adam HaRishon on Moitzei Shabbos, which is really like already Sunday. Because since Or was created on Sunday, so the Ish was also created on Sunday. It was just created on the back end of Sunday, the next Sunday, which is day 8 of creation, which, by the way, the 8th day represents Chanukah, which is Sunday. It's the second Sunday, and that's the day that Ish and Or was created. Hence, the Nes of Chanukah is 8 days long, because Or and Ish were created on day 1 and day 8. And that's really connects to the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether we do all 8 candles on the first day or on the 8th day, because it depends whether you're focusing on Or or Ish. But it's a melchama of Or versus Chayshach. And this, by the way, is the difference between Netzach and Hod. Now that we're a little bit familiar with Netzach and Hod, the difference between Netzach and Hod is that Netzach is a victory. It represents a battle which is taking place. Netzach means, if you're standing in my way, I'm going to run you over, and even if it's going to hurt, I'm taking you down. Hod is the opposite of that. Hod means hachna, it means to back off, it means to humble oneself. It's the Or which comes from humility. That's why the word Or in the Torah can be called Hod. Like it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, he had Karnei Hod.
It's interesting that Moshe was Netzach.
Oh, so that's what, really, Netzach and Hod go together.
The essence of Netzach is really Hod.
That's right. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a person who was rooted in Netzach, but he worked on himself, he was mashed on himself so much that he revealed the Koyach HaHod of the Netzach. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the An of Mikol Adam, and he also has Karnei Hod. Moshe's Teva was Eish. The Sfarim say Eish Lohet, which means a burning fire, is Gematria Moshe. That was his Teva. But he worked on this Eish to become an Or. This is really, you find like by Tzadikim. like they, in the beginning in their youth, they're like burning hot with their kanas. You know, he says that in his early years he was a big kanai. He's told me recently, I'm a big kanai by nature. You know, big kanai. I'm only here 3 years, so those who were earlier, they saw the, you know, fire of, he's still fire, he's still Eish Kodesh, but, you know, when a tzaddik matures, so then that Eish becomes an Or. And even though you could still be, you can still shine, you can still be very hot, but it gives a warmth, it doesn't hurt. You're able to accomplish the same thing and even better when it's Or. It's like the advantage of a flashlight versus a candle. Right? There's nothing that a candle has over a flashlight. Nothing. That's just why when it comes to Bidikas Chame, so we don't use candles anymore. You go around with the minigas with the candle, but then when you have to get to business, you have to start asking for Chame. You take out the flashlight. You don't do it with a candle anymore, right? Svartim also, they use flashlights? No, candles.
Raji says
yes.
Yeah.
It's fire of Svart.
We're using a candle. But if you burn the house down, Raji says use a candle, we use a candle.
That's the Amuna. That's Netzach versus Chayt. And you know what? When you become really stubborn, like the Chayshach of Yavon was, Chazal said that they were the most brazen of the Ummah, so the brazen, the Azaz Panim of the Yavanim. If the Chayshach gets really bold, and they're like, we're coming with the biggest best which we have, which is a really intense Chayshach, Vayomesh Chayshach, and then you have a little bit of Or, you know what happens? An Or shines even brighter in the thicker darkness.
Almost like an Eish doesn't work in a darkness. Someone feels that the Eish doesn't work in darkness. It's the Or that works in darkness.
It's true. It's true.
Go on, man.
Huh?
I don't get it.
I mean, the difference between an Or and an Eish is that the Eish is trying to wage battle with the Chayshach. That's the problem. Yeah. It doesn't have the smooth like penetration through the Chayshach.
No, it's not Shalom.
Right. That's the thing, it's raging a war, and Eish is on fire of war. It's like, come at me, whatever you are, I'm going to turn you into Eifer. That's the language of the Eish. But because of that, an Eish won't shine as far as an Or does, because it's concentrated in one place, and it's like, come into me and I'll take you over. Or is like, I'm going to you, I'm going to keep going and going and going. As far as I can go, I'm going to go. And the thicker the darkness, the greater the Or. And because the darkness of Yavon was so thick, that's why it was Nesgal Lador HaGanos. It wasn't that B'nai Yisrael was Zaychet Lador HaGanos. It's because the Yavanim, they paved the path towards the Arganos. Because they came with such a thick Chayshach, when Hashem brought down the light, when it came into this world, it was Nizgala as the Or HaGanos. And this is really the tzur into how every single Yeshua works, is that the Sitra Acher creates the environment in what becomes revealed. They create the backdrop, they set the stage for what type of Or is going to be Nizgala.
Pesach is like this.
Pesach is like that also. But the whole paradigm of every Yeshua comes from Pesach, and that's why before Makas Bechoris, which was the Nes, which the Makas Bepatish for the Geula, which was that night, the night of Yitzhak Mitzrayim was Makas Bechoris. The Makas which was before that was Chayshach, not just a regular Chayshach, Vayomesh Chayshach. That Vayomesh Chayshach was the setup, not for Makas Bechoris. That wasn't the Iker. It was for the revelation of Hashem's light on that night, which is also Hiskalos of Arganos. Vayamash Choshech set that up. But because the Yavanim deserves Vayamash Choshech, but Hashem could have made Vayamash Choshech on the first Makkah. But no, he waited for the ninth Makkah, which was because he was setting up the Hiskalos of Arganos, which would propel Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Just like it propelled Bnei Yisrael out of Galus Yavan. And so therefore, Rabin Biyad Me'atim, why is it that just a handful of Chashmonaim can take down the entire army of Yavanim? That's not a nes, Rabbi Yisai. That's not supernatural. That's natural. Because Chashmonaim represented Or. And even if there's a lot of Choshech, even if it's a thick Choshech, it's Teva that Or takes down Choshech. The Chashmonaim took down the Yavanim because it was Or versus Choshech.
We still there's still Zecha, the Nes, on the Rabban Biyad Me'atim.
Well, yes, it should be. Are you asking that it shouldn't be?
Asking a kasha. So what's the nes?
What is the nes?
Very good.
Right. No one walks into a room, a dark room, and sees a menorah and it's lit and going, wait a second. Right? That's taken over 100 cubic squares in this room. Why is that burning bright? That's the question, right?
So this is the follow-up to that question. That was the next point. We asked the kasha to begin with, what's the nes of the first night? So the Chassam Sefer says this. You know what the nes is of the first night? What does the Gemara say? Chanina ben Dosa?
They've done the kruv?
Huh? The other one. That he was poor, mamash had nothing.
That was a good song with that. But the one who says that
vinegar
burn.
That's right. He who says the oil should burn, let vinegar burn. Says the Chassam Sefer, but it's only a nes of vinegar burns? It's not a nes of oil burns? Oil burn is also a nes. It's just that we think it's not a nes because it's teva. But even the teva is a nes. Says the Chassam Sefer, the hisgabras of the Chashmonaim against the Yavanim, that's not a nes, that's teva. Zaydim be'at oiski tarasacha? But it's normal to think about it. It's normal to you that the Zaydim should beat the Zaydim.
Yes, because we're Gullahs Jews.
Exactly right.
We're used to the good guys losing. That's right. For God.
The whole Gullahs is a nace. It's against Teva. This is not normal. Says the Chassam Sefer, the victory of Torah is normal. That's normal. You have to know this part. I've said this so many times, it never gets old. Chassam Sefer, this is like the Chassam Sefer Lishitasai. Chassam Sefer says, when Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, undoubtedly there were Jews who were born in the Midbar. They were born in the Midbar. That means that they were born into a world where food fell from heaven and you traveled in clouds of glory and you drank the wells of Miriam. These were children that, imagine the scene when they came into Eretz Yisrael and they looked and they saw food growing from the ground. They said, Tati, what's going on over here? Food growing from the ground? I said, I know, it's a great miracle. We're only used to food falling from the heavens, but you can take a seed, plant it in the ground, and food comes from the ground. Isn't that crazy? That from the earth, from the soil, which is dead ground, but I get it that rain falls from the sky, food should fall from the sky too, but the fact that food can actually come from the ground, says the Chassam Sefer, it doesn't matter. Nesra Teva is the same thing. What are you used to? That's your Teva. What's a little bit different? That's your Nes. Everything is an ace. You want to know what the first night represents, says the Chassam Sefer? It's the nace of Teva itself. Open up your eyes to see that if vinegar lights or if oil lights, there's mamish no difference. In fact, we're going to see when Hashem removes the Tumah from the world, that the nace of the natural world is much greater than all the nisim in Mitzrayim. We're going to say, how big of a nace is it? Dever. That's a makkah? That was a big nace? That Hashem, He brought a plague and killed all the animals. We talk about it. We talk about it in the Negi Tzias Mitzrayim. Right? Arov, that He made wild animals come into Mitzrayim. Shechin, Barad. These are catastrophes, world catastrophes, which Hashem concentrated in Mitzrayim. And we make a big deal about it. Hashem changed the Teva. He brought Makos into Mitzrayim. Oh my gosh. And we talk about it from this angle and that angle. We talk about it like as if it's the greatest things which ever took place. So everybody say, we're going to be so embarrassed that we even talked about this. You know why? Because our bodies, even just blinking of an eye, the koach of the eye, is greater than all the makas combined. The natural world is so filled with nisim, it's only because there's a thick cloud of tumah that we can't see that everything around us is a nes. It's the greatest nes. There's nothing greater than the human body. The nes of the human body is the ultimate nes. And oilam kata. That we can walk, we can talk, we can see, we can hear, we can smell, we can taste. These things don't make sense. That a human being grows and his limbs grow along with him, that his eyes are exactly where they need to be, that they work in symmetry, and you can actually breathe oxygen and live, and then when things go into your body, it gives you life, and then it expels itself, and you could sleep and have koyach for the next day. This is, who came up with this stuff? This is unbelievable. Who wrote the script for this? And we're talking about on Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim, about Dever, Shechin, and Barad. You ever think about that? This is what we're talking about. The mouth which is saying this is greater nace than what's being spoken about. That I can communicate and you can listen to me? The whole magid is a nace. The fact that I can talk to you, can understand what I'm saying is an ace. And I process that and be intellectually stimulated and to have conversation and to have points and to argue and to agree. We're talking about Nisim of Mitzrayim.
Does that feed the ore? Is that connected to the ore? The perspective of the nace changes how one hones the age to the ore? Is there a connection to that?
Can you explain a little more?
Meaning, it sounds to me that this recognition, there's got to be a connection why we use the idea of being grateful for the things that we're not grateful for is a critical idea. The question is, why is the Kodesh Baruch Hu use ore to teach you that? Right? We can have had this experience on any night. The fact that the Chasam Sofer is saying, we're going to now designate the first night of Hanukkah to teach you the lesson that there's no such thing as Teva and Nes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason why the prop to get to this lesson is a candle? It could be anything. I mean, the idea that we should appreciate Nes and Teva and recognize the difference between Nes and Teva is frequency and predictability. And as soon as something becomes more frequent and predictable, I stop appreciating it.
Mm-hmm.
Kodesh Baruch could have done that for the Tzvius HaOmer. He could have done it at any point in our history and said, we're going to appreciate this nace. Dafkut's being used at Hanukkah.
Right.
Because there's got to be something about oil or about the ore that is being megala this yisod when anything in the world could be megala this yisod.
Perhaps, right. Here. So you're saying like this. Naniach, we said before, I understand why. We started off with the connection between the Melchama and the Nes. What's the connection? So we said, since the Melchama is Rab Mad Biatan, let's use that as the example, that's a Nitzachon of Or versus Choshech, so the Nes is a Taich on the Melchama because that's Or versus Choshech. That, so now we're saying, from this angle that we're working in Nes and Teva, why is it that Or demonstrates this unification of Nes and Teva?
Yeah.
Okay. So it goes like this. Teva and Nes corresponds to, let's say, like neshama and guf. Like neshama and guf. Teva is like the guf, let's say, and the neshama is nes, or is nes. Now, there needs to be something which unifies nes and teva together. Meaning, what is it about? There has to be a tzad shava. If nes isn't nes, and teva isn't nes, right? If there's no such thing as Nes and Teva, that means that there has to be something else. What's the cost of Hashlishi HaMachriya B'neihem? Meaning, if Nes isn't really a Nes and Teva isn't really Teva, then what are these things? That's what it is. It's the Or HaGanez. That's why the third Pasuk in the Torah is Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. It's the cost of Hashlishi HaMachriya. And it comes to say, what is it then? What is it then? So the answer to that question is as follows. It's not that Or represents the unification of Nes and Teva. It's this Or. The Or HaGanuz is what unifies Nes and Teva together. Does that make sense?
Isn't it Or Ein Sof or the same thing?
Yeah, Or HaGanuz is the Or Ein Sof, yeah. This is the potential behind everything.
Oh,
what makes everything run is this Or HaGanuz. Everything which functions because of this. And so therefore, the whole tachlis of Nes and the whole tachlis of Teva is to be oimen on this nekuda. That really everything which runs and governs this world is the Or HaGanuz. It's the tzad shava of the Nes and the Teva.
Hashem is giving us the source of everything in that one.
That's right.
Wow.
And that, even that is Rabbi Yad Miyat, meaning Rabbim is two, Nes and Teva, Biyad Ma'atim, Biyad one, which is the Or HaGanuz.
You said that Or it clears things up. It's light. So you have something dark, you don't see anything. If it's, mm-hmm. if it's light, it's clear, and you see it. So when you have these two conflicting situations, when it's dark, you don't know the answer. But when you see it in the light, you
it's
see
clarity.
It. Clarity. Yeah, it brings clarity.
Yeah.
You mean that Nes and Teva are the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting how that it's all connected, which is we use clarity in Or, and clarity is not only Or conceptually, it's also literally, meaning it's like it's almost like a literal representation of what clarity is, which is everything's Or in itself. Like just focus on the candle and recognize that everything in this world is just a manifestation of the same exact property called
Nor.
That's right. It's almost like that should be the symbol, which it probably is, which is why we have a near tummy or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
And then at the same time, it hits to your point, which is that's the clarity.
Right, exactly. As long as a person has not yet realized that everything is the Orient Sof, he's not clear.
Right.
He's in Choshech.
And then once you do, then you can potentially get to being an Or, not an Esh. Maybe right. That's what Esh and Or is. Maybe Esh is just the unbridled passion, and Or is the recognition that it really does. It's like it's the ability to sort of concentrate that passion on the Orient Sof.
So you could say it like this. What's the difference between Emunah and Bitachon? So we explained already some aspect of it, but really what Bitachon is exactly this. Bitachon was the midah of the Chashmonaim, and the reason why they were able to just to like steamroll over the Choshech of the Yevanim is because they had a clarity in this Nakuda that everything is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Meaning, klape the Ribbono Shel Olam, everything is a Choshech Tehizor. And if everything is the Ribbono Shel Olam, everything is an Orient Sof, then nothing can stand in the way of the Orient Sof, because what can stand in the way of everything? So if a person holds tight to Kadosh Baruch Hu like that, he's not afraid and he has bitachon and he knows bivada he'll win. Meaning like this. The only way that there could be a suffix perhaps that you may lose is if you see your opponent as an adversary. But if you're the only one playing the game, you can't lose. You can't lose. It's not a melchama because it's only you. It's like in a video game, if there's two players, so then one will win, one will lose. But if you're a single player, then you can't lose.
But just to explain what you said, are you saying you can't lose because all you have to do is hold on and you win? Is that what you mean?
Meaning, our perception of the Ribbono Shel Olam creates our metzius. If there's any period, if we're not clear on Hashem's achdus, and there's an acher other than his echad, then there's a potential of losing because I've created a melchama between the tzad kedusha and the other tzad. But that's not klape the emes, that's not the truth, because it's a faulty perception of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If I believe that Hashem is echad, and when I say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem echad, and that dalit, I enunciate that dalit, and it's like there's only Him, there's mamash only Him. And Baruch Shem Kibbutz Shalom, which I say silently, is the voice within the Sitracha, which says, yeah, you're right, it's only Him. So then, if there's only Him, then there's no melchama. You can't possibly lose. So if you go out to war with that banner, and you're like Hashem Echad,
no matter what,
then you can't lose. You can't lose. And that's why Chazal say that the Mashiach Melchama who got to war, he would say to me, so Shema Yisrael, Atem Kri Mayim Melchama. Chazal say he would say to them, Shema Yisrael. This wasn't just their mantra. This wasn't just like their theme, their war theme. This was the success. This is what he was teaching them, how they would for sure win this war. That if you just hold on to Shema Yisrael, you can't possibly lose. Because who are you going up against? It's Hashem against Hashem. It's only Him.
Is that like a figurative type of thing? Is that literal? Like we've seen in Torah that there were tzaddikim and naravos that were afraid of people or situations like Moshe by Og and Yaakov by Esav. So how do we put this through the prism of Echad? If everything is Echad, why was there any fear?
So it's a very good question, and to answer that, it's important to know the Seder Hashanim, the Seder Hazmanim, the different Kufas throughout the world, meaning like this, that the word Tzaddikim who lived in the world of Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad, but they lived in that world, in a very private world, and they weren't able to expose it to the Rabbim. So although Moshe Rabbeinu himself lived in that world, he wasn't afraid in the Melchama of Moshe versus Og. He was afraid of, since Moshe is Moshe, but Klai Yisrael is Klai Yisrael, and Moshe's Madriga doesn't reflect Klai Yisrael's Madriga, so it could be that even though Moshe Rabbeinu was a man of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it won't translate and spill over to Bnei Yisrael, that formula of Moshe will help Bnei Yisrael win as well. And one of the successes which is taking place as history goes on is that there's a hispashtus of this or from the Yechidim to the Rabbim. And one of the big cracks in the world which allowed this revelation of Hashem Echad to be able to flow over and go to the Rabbim was through Chanukah. That's what we say, Rabbim Yad Me'atim. That now the Rabbim were in the hands of the Me'atim, and the Me'atim were able to be onto the Rabbim much more. That's why it wasn't given Rishus to later generations, like to the Baal Shem Tovs of the world, v'chule, to be able to go out and to teach this Yisodis in mass, so that everyone should be versed in this, into the knowledge that the Tzaddikim themselves were, that they understood. Like we're at a stage in a world right now of Ufaratzta, V'yafutsu. And that Rishus was given primarily in the times of the Yavanim. Since they were Portzichomas Migdalai, since they broke into the walls of the Kedusha, they created openings to allow now the Kedusha to be dispassioned into the Rishus HaRabim, which is why the whole idea of Ner Chanukah is to take this Ner, which represents Hashem's Achdus, and Dafka to light it in the Chayesha, in the Rishus HaRabim, so that it can be given over to the masses. Again, Hashem uses the Sitra Achra as part of His design to the direction where the world is going. Sometimes the Kedusha has to play by the rules, but as they break the rules, so then they broke the rules, so now there's new rules. So basically, to sum up the answer to the question, there's the world of the Yechid and then there's the world of the Rabbin. So although Tzaddikim were able to live in their private world, in that space called Shema Yisrael consciousness, but that it should go over to the Rabbin, to affect the Rabbin, yet alone to teach the Rabbin, that's something which has been one of the great toelises and advances throughout Jewish history as time goes on and on, to the point that we'll finally come to the finish line and then Hashem's Achdus will be everywhere. But that's a process in motion. That's called Mosif HaHolich. That's why the Ner Chanukah is Mosif HaHolich. Not just Mosif HaHolich in Halacha, but the tevel of this snare of Hashem's Achdus is to be Mosif HaHolich V'ad Dor V'Dor
HaMenaseh. Follow-up question? It's like completely separate, but it's still a follow-up. It seems like the Sajachar is creating the scene for the Or. How do we get one step in front of that? Like, it can't be that the Sajachar is leading the dance. Like, it's possible for us to get in front of that.
Yeah. That could be.
Yeah, I think the Sajachar is creating it for us to get in front of it, right? That's the whole story. I think Did you speak about this, Matt, about the that Esav's Malach going up because he fought, he finally got
in. That's the Rebbe.
What?
Rebbe spoke about that. Rebbe Matzel. No. This year?
It sounds like the only way is with this Zeracha.
Meaning, the Zeracha is leading the way, but you don't have to be hurt by them.
Right. He's creating.
You don't have to have any casualties. Yeah. And they create the context for this, for the revelation to take place. Like by Purim, so Bnei Yisrael were heading to a certain direction. That was the Geula after 70 years. But what propelled the Geula, nobody knew the Ketz. Even Achashverosh thought about Belshazzar, nobody knew the Ketz. Why? Because the Ketz was going to be when something was revealed. Mordechai and Esther had to reveal a certain light of Geula, like Hoyidim HaYisrael V'Simcha V'Sasa V'Yikar. What created the revelation of that light? The Tsar of Haman created the backdrop for the revelation of that light. So could it have been without that? Possibly, had they been Ma'ar themselves in a very big tshuva. But it's hard to know. But Al Kapanim, everything was just an illusion so that Bnei Yisrael would come to the Madrega. Now that on this Madrega, that light was revealed, and with that light, it let them out of the Galus of Madai.
But it sounds like the Or really can't get out without Choshech. So when you think about Choshech in our life, it's really the world of Acher. Like what is Choshech? Right? What is it? So if you look at Greek culture, what is it that makes Greek culture Choshech? Greek culture invented Acher. In fact, in Greek culture, they got rid of Echad. Like, they invented a world of no Echad. That was their Yisoy. That was Socrates and Aristotle. That there's no such thing as any God. It wasn't like they were like trying to play to Hashem to get him out of the way, and they were playing the games that Egypt played. Or even what there was going on with like Achashverosh and counting. They were like, no, the whole thing is mumbo jumbo. Like, mm-hmm. They brought to the world the concept that it's just, there's nothing in the world but the human being. So they're... It almost feels like the Choshech that we're up against is the world where the Tzaddikim lose. It's a world where there's only Acher.
So the only, so that's Choshech, is that there's Acher. Now, when you're up against Acher, the or is Echad. But you're fighting Acher with Echad.
Can I explain what you're saying? I think this is a good touch. I think it's a good touch. Until Yavan, people believed in the supernatural.
Yeah.
And as long as you believe in the supernatural, which defies logic, so then you can have one God, possibly. Because the idea that Hashem is one defies all logic. Because there's so much rebuy in this world, it's counterintuitive to think that an Echad, that there can be an Echad like that. But if you believe in the supernatural, then it's okay. Yavan, the whole philosophy of Yavan was very intellectual. It was very cold. It was very much like by the books. It had to make sense. It had to be logical.
Rational.
Irrational. Because Hashem's Achdus is not rational, by definition, that's why the Greeks had many gods. They had meant that everything was a different god. Because according to logic, it can't be Echad in the sense that like we believe Echad, the Jewish Echad, not that, you know, one versus two. One is the only one, Echad Yochid Miuchad. So the whole philosophy of Yavan was contradictory to our belief in Echad, because it was trying to take Hashem's Achdus and to make it miniature and to size it up into this the tzimtzum of the Seichel. That's something which defies the Seichel. That's why it goes inherently, the Echad goes inherently against the Acher. So they tried to use the Seichel, which is a tool to explain Hashem's Achdus, right? This tool called the Seichel is not supposed to understand Hashem's Achdus. This is a tool which has been given to us to understand finite rules, the rules of this world. So it goes like this. We have a lave and we have a Seichel, the neshama and the lave. The lave is the place in the human being which is able to understand Hashem's Achdus. The mayach is not able to. The mayach's advantage is that it's very in tune to the concrete world, to the world of gvul. But the lev is the keli to understand the ein gvul, the ein sof, the bli gvul. The confusion of Yavan was that they tried to use the seichel to understand even the thoughts of the heart. And they completely disconnected the seichel from the heart, and they said, there's no such thing as ein sof. The only thing which really exists is what you see with your eyes, and if the seichel can't understand it, it doesn't exist. So they stripped the heart, they stripped the neshama out of the Torah. And that's why they said, come into your temple. But just as long as there's no Kedusha there, that's fine. They didn't try to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't try to destroy the Gufim of Bnei Yisrael. They tried to rip away the Neshama and the Kedusha out of it, which represents the lave. That was the Melchama. But because they did that and they took away the Neshama and they took away the Or, Hashem says, okay, I'll let you take it away. But just know, when I bring it back, bring it back a better version. Better than it was before. So that's why when Hashem brought back the Or into the Beis HaMikdash, Bnei Yisrael went in, they're like, wait, this is not the same. This is not the same Or that we had before. This is a chinuch. This is a new inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. Because that's how Hashem works. Okay, take it away, I'm masking. I'm taking this away. That's what you want? I'm taking it away. Hashem took it away. He was masking. And he didn't bring back the same one because he said, I'm taking it away. I can't bring back the old one. I'm bringing back a new one. That's what they felt when they went back into the Beis HaMikdash with the Pach Shem and the whole Nes. Hashem was saying to them, it had to be a chinuch. It was inherently a chinuch. They were tapping into the fact that this was a new light which is now permeating the Beis HaMikdash. This was the light not just of the neshama versus the guf. This was a greater light, because of course it was the Or HaGanus that they were tasting. But this is a light which is not just a light which stands next to and by the guf. This is a type of an Or which permeates the guf also, which allows us to be Mekadosh the Chol, which is what Chanukah is all about, being Mekadosh the guf, being Mekadosh the Chol. That's called the defeat of Yavan. The Or which was present in the times of the Yavanim, which they made a Melchama against, it deserved to be made a Melchama against, because it was an Or which was like kind of standing by the Guf. It wasn't an Or which had the potency that was able to be Mekadosh the Guf yet. In order to be Masik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you had to go against the Guf, you had to be Machniah the Guf, and to make Yisurin on the Guf, and then you Halavai should be Zeichet to the Neshama, which is the Or. Hashem said, using Yavan, I'm done with that Or. I don't want that Mahalach anymore. Bring in the new light. Bring in the Or HaGanus, the Or Shel Mashiach, where it's not going to be anymore like the Baal Shem Tov and others taught, no more Sigufim, no more Tainuses. That was only good in those times where the Or and the Guf, where they made Milchama with each other. Hashem says, I don't want that anymore. I want an Or. Like Hashem did against the Yavanim. I want an Or which will ride over the Choshech. Because if the Guf is Choshech and the Neshama is Or, then you don't have to make war the Neshama against the Guf. You don't have to strangle the guf and be machniyah the guf and go through Yisurin. We just have to tap into the aura of Torah properly. And when a person connects to Torah, then he's mekadesh the guf. Doesn't have to machnia the guf. I hope this is making sense. I'm saying it's a lot all at once. I hope that we shall have the seder should come together.
I almost feel like the first version is really Eish and Mayim.
Yeah.
The first version, this is what happens. Yeah. Every time a new or is niskale, the one which was before that becomes Eish and Mayim. Understand? Because that's called Chitzonius.
The fight of Guf and Neshama, the original fight, feels like an Eish and Mayim.
That's exactly what it was. It was Eish and Mayim. Yeah. And then Hashem was Megala and new or, and then it became more and Chosha.
Because he was up against Chosha, he wasn't up against Mayim.
Right.
It's interesting. It's the idea of Mason Teva too, where as something becomes more, you know, accustomed to, you basically that becomes your Teva, and then the new thing becomes an Ace.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we're gonna call it your Shkoyach.
Also, as history goes forth, it seems like people are becoming, I don't say more refined, but
you're around Friday,
but the atmosphere that people are living in
is becoming
more refined. Like, we look back 100 years ago and we're like, they